Hello and welcome back to the BenHeck.com podcast, episode 103. I'm your host, Ben Heckendorn.
I'm Jones.
I'm Parker.
And our topics today include the new SNES Mini. Oh, what a surprise. They're making this only available for a limited time. We're also going to talk about conspiracy theories on why the NES Mini's life was so short.
Was Nintendo turned into Disney? Like, where they just release shit from the vault, you know, for a little while? And then it's like, oh, going back in. Better buy it.
Better get it now.
The next topic after that, I guess we kind of predicted this, but I think it's even been worse than we thought it would be. Summer 2017 box office bloodbath. Movies.
Oh my god, this sounds terrible.
The movies are falling left and right.
And oh no.
But who's causing the bloodbath?
Hollywood for making nothing but sequels and reboots. However, Wonder Woman has done really, really well. But Jones said that it's better than Iron Man, so we're going to have a big argument about that.
Well, it is. I mean, there's nothing to even argue. It's just better.
See, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm just going to assume it's Iron Man with boobs.
Well, actually, yeah, the last time we did the podcast a month ago, I think it was like a day before we saw Wonder Woman, so we can talk about Wonder Woman.
Yes.
As well.
It is in play.
We're going to have to slap a spoiler warning on this.
Wonder Woman has great legs.
Yes, she does. In more ways than one.
Literally and figuratively.
And at the box office.
Okay. Our final topic is VR a fad? What about AR? Is either of them the future?
And this comes after the Cast AR closure.
Yeah, that was... Remember, was that about a year ago when they refunded everyone's Kickstarter money? Like, you're going to get your money back plus a unit?
I think that was a little longer than a year ago, but you might be right.
Well, I came across it because I was trying to figure out where my Mystery Science Theater 3000 rewards were. All I've gotten is a hoodie so far.
I think that was in 2015 was the Cast AR refund thing.
That actually went away. I was actually just going to ask about that because that's the only thing I think of when I hear AR.
Yeah, so. I didn't realize. I guess it was the story yesterday, but I didn't know about it until like an hour ago.
Oh, that's too bad.
All right. Well,
on that note.
Those are our topics. So let's swing back to topic one. So it turns out that, surprise, surprise, Nintendo's going to make a SNES Mini.
Thank God.
But Parker, didn't you say that's only available for a limited time?
Yeah, they said that it's going to be available between the end of September and the end of the year. So that's what, 4 months?
Thus ensuring people buy every single goddamn unit off the shelves.
Well, yeah, for the holidays, of course people will buy that shit up.
Oh, my bad. It's only 3 months. I can't count.
And didn't the price go up $20?
I think so.
What do they charge for that shit anyways?
I want to say it was 60 and now it's 80.
Jesus.
Let's see. Pre-order.
Yeah, I could just like sub to WoW for like 5 months for that. Much better use of my money. And I don't have a thing laying around my place to collect dust and take up space.
I'm so glad that nostalgia does not work on me. Probably because I have a cold, dried-up heart.
It worked on me for a little while. It has kind of run into a brick wall in recent years.
It does have the unreleased Star Fox 2 on it.
Uh-oh, Ben's in...
No, I'm not, because I made a bootleg ROM of that game, and it sucks. It's not... Well, Cars, maybe it's because it's in Japanese, but it's like, it's not fun.
Mm.
It's got some really good concepts, but yeah, I would agree. It's not... Mm. There's a reason why they scrapped it and went with the Star Fox N64 game.
You know, like on the N64 version, how they have like the four-player battle mode... Where it's like all free space and just like looping around and fighting each other. Like all of Star Fox 2 is like that. So basically, like, they drop you in an area, and you spin around over and over, and you have to clear, like, 20 enemies. It's not like, you know, going through tunnels and cool stuff.
Yeah, that, they call that all-range mode.
Yeah, it just, I don't know, it just kind of sucks the life out of it.
So, yeah, the SNES Mini is going to be $79.99, and then the NES was $59.99, so it's $20 more. So for that extra $20, you get longer cables on your controllers.
Ooh,
apparently that was a big thing with the NES.
So why did they just kill the NES Classic? I mean, I heard a rumor that they're just trying to use up excess Wii parts, like some of the chips and some of the controller ports. Because the controller ports were the same thing as the Nunchuck extension.
Huh.
Parker, you deal with manufacturing and electronic components. How feasible does that seem to you?
Maybe, but the thing is, they did sell, like, what, 2-3 million of these things. They would have to have a lot of extra parts.
Well, maybe they were remember when they made that Wii, the Wii Mini, like the stripped down Wii that nobody bought?
They did?
Or the Wii U.
Oh, yeah, that could, yeah, that too. No, there was, like, in 2010, there was, like, a stripped down Wii that didn't have Wi-Fi and... Huh. I don't even know if it was sold in America. I think it was like, I don't know.
So the only thing is the new SNES Mini, at least in all the pictures that people are showing of like the material you get from Nintendo, that it has a controller port that looks like the SNES. So if they were using the NES Mini to get rid of parts, then why did they come out with the SNES Mini?
Because the NES Mini was super popular. And if they still had the parts, wouldn't they use those parts in the SNES Mini? Because all it is just an I2C controller.
Yeah, I'm not going to buy that method, though. I think they stopped because they didn't want it to interfere with the launch of the Switch.
That's entirely possible as well. Well, what about the hacking?
I don't think the hacking was too big of a deal.
But you know this Nintendo, Super Nintendo... Well, it either not have a USB port or the USB port will not have the data lines pinned out.
Oh, you know, yeah, so yeah, yeah.
It'll take people at least like 3 seconds to hack this one.
They'll have to open it up and solder something.
Yep, but they'll still do it.
Oh, yeah. Now, I don't think that was too big of a deal, the hacking on the NES. I don't think a lot of people actually did that.
Well, of course not, because nobody could buy the damn thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, yeah, but it could have been a political thing where it's like, we don't want this, you know, cheap toy. Because, like, if they would have kept selling that thing at, like, you know, full steam ahead, it probably would have outsold the Switch. I mean, the Switch has sold really well, but the fact that NES Mini was selling millions of units and they weren't even available, I mean, that... I think Nintendo just is scared to leave anything on the shelf. You know, they want the empty shelves.
That and it's, you got to think of from a grandma perspective and be like, my grandson wants a new Nintendo. This Nintendo is $60. Why do I have to buy the $300 Nintendo?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Well, Jones, you worked at Walmart. Yeah, little Timmy, I mean, did that kind of shit happen a lot?
I don't recall a lot of that happening, though. This is 20 years ago, so who knows?
I know. Isn't that how they try to trick dumb grandma? It's like, oh, look, it's Leo, the Lion King of the Jungle on VHS. This is obviously what my kid wants.
Oh, like some of that kind of faux Disney shit that we get pumped out?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like that stuff was definitely for that.
Faux Disney Oh, shit, we should talk about those two guys being fired off the Han Solo movie.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what the hell?
A movie that was already... a shaky proposition just got a lot worse.
It's a huge universe sandbox to play in, .. that only involves 4 characters.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to see Princess Leia's origin story. It's, what did Obi-Wan do in the desert for 20 years?
He stood behind a rock and probably just jerked it.
For 20 years?
Yeah, that's like, Jesus.
I mean, Sometimes you just can't get it up, man.
It sounds like this. This is like the Star Wars version of Requiem for a Dream. It just sounds like dark shit going on.
So while Luke was getting his butt kicked by the Jawas, Obi-Wan was behind a rock jacking it, and then he heard the kaboosh.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah.
Seems plausible.
He's like, let me shake your hand, Luke Skywalker. Oh, wait, never mind.
Other hand.
The unclean hand. Well, that's a pretty good theory of what Obi-Wan was doing on Tatooine all those years.
Had to pass the time somehow.
How many games are on this SNES Mini? Like, five?
I guess I can list them off or just count them. But the lineup's pretty good. I mean, you got, like, F-Zero, Final Fantasy, Earthbound. I'm actually surprised to see a lot of,
Earthbound's
like...
Earthbound's on there?
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Yoshi's Island, Super Punch-Out. Most of them are Nintendo's, but you got some in there that are third parties, like Mega Man.
Hmm.
Street Fighter. Not as many third parties as this NES.
Oh, they got Street Fighter on there, too?
Mm-hmm.
Street Fighter, not Street Fighter 2?
Oh, Street Fighter 2 Turbo Hyper Fighting, The Origin Stories.
Ah, yes.
Ryu Begins.
Yeah, Ryu Begins.
Hmm.
Why can't we see characters end? You know?
We did in Logan.
Did you ever see that Patton Oswalt sketch about origin stories?
I don't think so.
This might have come up. I think at the time he was talking about, like, Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith.
Okay.
And he's like, why do we always got to find out where these things come from? You know, I don't want to find that out. It's like if I want to, like, look at Angelina Jolie, I don't want to see a picture of John Voight's balls. And it's like, yeah, you got to have some mystery, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, do we need an origin story for Han Solo?
I mean, no.
Because you know it's going to be like, he's going to win the Millennium Falcon gambling from Lando Calrissian and then be chased by bad guys, run into Chewbacca, and then get the Millennium Falcon all in like a 5-minute period.
Yep.
Yeah. He's got it. Well, he saves Chewbacca, so.
And it's going to be like, yep, didn't need to see any of this shit.
Yep.
But whatever.
It'll be like Indiana Jones and Last Crusade where, what is it, he gets his whip, his scar, and his hat. And his fear of snakes.
Yeah.
All in like a 10-minute period.
Yeah. It's like, that has to be the most traumatizing for a kid ever. Like that 10-minute period.
It's like my entire identity has been formed within 10 minutes of my life.
Yeah, exactly.
You lost today, kid. That doesn't mean you have to like it.
I'll say, compared to most origin stories, though, that it's not bad.
Yeah, it's a pretty good transition.
Yeah.
I like that movie more as I get older, because I can kind of appreciate the father-son stuff more.
Makes sense.
When I was 13, when I was like a 13-year-old movie snob, I'm like, ugh, that wasn't as good as the other ones. Meh, meh.
Wow, you were a 13-year-old movie snob? That's pretty early.
Oh, yeah.
Young to be a movie snob.
Oh, yeah, I was totally a movie snob.
Impressive.
I'll still say the second one's the best one.
Well, that's a better answer than the third one, which is what most people say.
Yeah, Temple of Doom's pretty badass.
Yeah.
I think that's why I like it the most, because it's just...
Yeah, there's not enough, like, so you know, child slavery and whipping and torture in movies nowadays.
Hey, you got people
especially
getting, like, hearts ripped out of their chest. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, especially since that was, like, a... It's a movie that you would watch with your kids.
I love that part after he, you know, wakes up from the dark sleep of Kali.
Oh, yeah.
And then you see that guy whipping the kid, mm-hmm. and then he turns around and Indiana Jones is standing there, and then you just hear, like, bam! The guy goes flying, and the kids all like, scream. That's awesome. Yeah.
When they could make action blockbuster movies.
Yeah.
Still do. It just doesn't happen often enough.
Yeah. And that's probably why there's been a box office bloodbath. Yes, that's right. We're now on our second topic. I'm moving things along.
What a segue.
Thank you. I ride around on it all the time.
For the Lord.
So, yeah. I don't know. Were we talking, Jones, that we were expecting this to be a pretty bad summer for movies?
That's what you all were talking about last week, month.
Probably every month. But it's like...
Yeah, every month.
It's been especially bad. It's pretty bad.
I mean, for me, I came into the summer, I'm like, there's two movies I want to see. Wonder Woman and Dunkirk. I don't really give a fuck about anything else.
That's because you're a Warner Brother fanboy.
Eh. I just know what I like. That's what it is.
Well, anyway, like, there's all these movies coming out where they try to start a shared universe, and it fails. So, what was it? King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, bombed. Alien, bombed. The Mummy, bombed. Transformers is doing really poorly based off previous entries.
You always have to have the caveat of domestically nowadays, because some of these movies are being successful overseas.
Yes, but the fact that, like, when you read this box office stuff, and only this year have they started talking about worldwide openings. They're like, oh, you know, this opened to 200 million worldwide. You saw that with, like,
they've talked about that in the past.
It's spin, though. Yeah. Like, when they talk about Fantastic Beasts.
Movie news.
Yeah, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. It opened at $200 million worldwide. Well, that's crap. I mean, like, you know, like Jurassic World or Avengers can open at $200 million domestic. And what they don't say about Fantastic Beasts is it opened lower than any Harry Potter movie did, even with, you know, 16 years of inflation taken off the top.
But, so, box office, like, I don't know, to me, I look at it too, like, you know, they're just pumping out a bunch of crap, but I mean, like...
It seems like Americans are sick of it. We finally just stopped going to shit.
Well, the thing is, it's like, was it really sustainable to, like, keep having these movies that make 300, 400, like, having a whole bunch of 300, 400 million dollar movies every summer? Like, having five or six of those every summer? Like, how sustainable is that
even? Like, it's been, like, a big movie every weekend.
But I'm just saying, you know, like, now you're not getting these movies that, you know, are guaranteed to make $300 million or whatever. Like, I mean, that was like a phenomenon for just a couple, 3 years where it's like, oh, all of a sudden now everything has to be a $300 or $400 million movie.
Well, it's tough because there's only so many theaters and only so many seats. So, you know, the movie has to make most of its money right off the bat because something else and some other big blockbusters are going to come and take all the screens the next weekend.
Yep. That's what's been kind of impressive with Wonder Woman. I mean, the competition hasn't been super fierce with it, but it's been holding really well.
Now, I would say Wonder Woman is overrated in general, but it's still above average. And it's new, it's good. The parts of it that are good are very emotionally satisfying, mm-hmm. which you can't say about Marvel.
Yep.
Marvel just makes, you know, cookie cutter assembly line stuff. Like Marvel movies, if you think about it, Marvel is like the most successful comic book movie company, but they haven't made any of the best comic book movies.
Correct. I mean, like when most people,
Iron Man, so.
Yeah, but when you see people talk about like the great superhero movies, they'll usually reference like Dark Knight, even though I think that one's a bit overrated, but it's like that one comes up.
I think the modern Batman is overrated. So
I think the modern Batman's the best iteration, but it's like people will reference Dark Knight, they'll talk about like the Raimi Spider-Man
2, yep. Logan.
Some people will talk about like some of the original, like the early, like X2, second X-Men movie, like the Batman with Keaton way back when, although that one to me has not aged well at all, but.
I think it's as fresh as new fallen snow.
Oh man, that thing, I don't know, the last couple of times I've tried to watch it, it's a tough sit, and I'm like, man, I used to love this movie, what the hell happened, but.
See, I like that movie more now than I did when I was a kid.
Oh, that's cool. But like to me, like you go through a list, like you never see people say, "Oh, yeah, like Captain America is the best Marvel or best superhero movie, or you know, Avengers or what." You never hear people saying that shit because they're like
they mostly rave about how much money they make and how consistently successful they are, not necessarily the quality of the film.
Yeah. Which I never really understand that, because it's like, unless you're like an investor in those companies, like who gives a fuck? Like,
yeah. it's like company fanboyism, like, you know, Sony versus Microsoft, Nintendo versus Sony, AMD versus Intel. It's like, you know, people rooting, you know, for their own favorite billion-dollar company.
Why would you? That's a thing I never really thought about. Is why would you want to root for a company that you're giving money to?
I guess the reason you would do that is, you know, if you like the products that they make a lot and you want them to make more of them. I mean, that's, to me, that's the sensible part of it. You know, you want to...
Yeah, or justifying your purchase or something like that.
Yeah, which is less sensible. if it's just like, oh, I was dumb enough to buy this, but I'm going to, like, talk it up so I don't feel stupid for getting it.
Batman and Robin is the best Batman because I saw it in theaters.
Yeah, it would be that kind of thinking, basically.
Actually, that movie is pretty good because the villains in that movie are fucking badass.
That's not the word I would use to describe them. But they're amusing. But yeah, it's like, I don't know. So like, to me, the box office this summer, whatever. Who gives a shit? It's like, kind of figured. I mean, you looked at the slate. It's not like, to me, it's not a surprise. It's not like you had like, oh, all these great movies were lined up and holy shit, some of them failed. It's like, you could just look at the field and it's like, well, a lot of these are gonna be duds.
Well, here's a question.
I mean,
how do you think
Emoji Movie.
The Angry Birds movie actually did pretty decent.
Yeah.
How do you think Spider-Man will do? I think that'll be the real bellwether of the summer.
Homecoming?
It's been
getting rave attention, so.
It's true.
Yeah, that new Spider-Man, I'm curious to see how that does, because I hear zero buzz about it, and what little I have heard about it, like from people who are geeky like us and are also like really into comics and things, like they're just like, we really need another fucking Spider-Man already. Like they're saying that too. So it's like I really gotta wonder.
I still think there's a lot of fatigue with that movie.
Yeah, so I'm really kind of wondering how well that's gonna do.
Kind of think it's going to underperform from, like, they're forecasting like $130 million.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I don't think it's going to do it. I really don't. Because, I mean, they're pushing the Iron Man angle really hard. He's probably
I noticed
girly.
That. Yeah, like, it's almost right. Like the Iron Man Spider-Man buddy movie is the way that they're, like, selling it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Good cop, bad cop.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, look, Robert Downey Jr.'s here.
Also, why did Michael Keaton disappear for so long? I mean, why did we have to go so long without Michael Keaton in movies?
I don't know. And then he did Birdman, and now apparently he's around again. So that's something.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Batman is fighting Spider-Man. Sploosh.
Oh, God. I didn't even think about that.
What? Spider-Man could kick Batman's ass.
Or shit.
Like in a...
Spider-Man's a punk.
Oh, he would take him out.
He's a little bitch.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I think that will be the real thing. Like, if that underperforms, that's like, so if it opens well, you know, then they'll be like, oh, look, it saved the box office, blah blah blah. That's gonna be the bellwether of the summer.
I won't be surprised at all if that one. I mean, it's not like it's going to bomb, but I could see it underperforming for sure.
Because they had like the... well, here's the thing. The average Joe Q public idiot, they don't follow movie news and casting. Like,
yeah.
They don't know about Marvel's creative control. All they think is like, shit, I saw that movie with Andrew Garfield. Then there's a sequel and it was even dumber. and they make another goddamn one of these movies with Spider Guy. You know, that's what they think about. That's why.
That's how it goes, huh?
Yeah, they push Iron Man because it's like, oh well, we gotta prove that this isn't just another Spider-Man movie because Iron Man's here now.
Yep. Plus, that's like the only thing Downey can do that'll make money. So.
Yeah. Well, God, even the new Pirates is like way, way down.
Yeah.
Even international, it's way down, and to say nothing of domestic.
I think it's just inching up to around 700 million, like globally. Which, compared,
I'm sure that will put it
to what the last one did, like what, like 1.1 or 1.2 globally, because it made
the last one was
overseas.
Like, yeah, the biggest globally, but like. Yeah, On Stranger Tides had the smallest box office in America, but made more globally than the previous three movies. And this one looks like no one really cares, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe people just don't like Pirates anymore.
I don't know. I think people just want something new. I mean, like, look at Wonder Woman, you know? It's new, you know?
I probably would have seen Wonder Woman if she was fighting real Nazis.
Well, it's World War One.
Yeah, there aren't real Nazis in World War One.
Yeah, why couldn't they just set it in World War Two?
Because that's,
I don't know,
not the origin.
But then they could have done it, and then they would have made the origin stories afterwards.
But then she can't run across no man's land if it's World War
II. Well, guess what? They're gonna make another one, and guess what? They'll probably have her be running around in World War Two, fucking some shit up or something.
Oh, what if she's like in a bread line in the sequel?
Mm.
Will she like run across a bread line in the Great Depression, and people be throwing bread at her, and she'll be using the shield to deflect it? I mean, you know that would happen
make
before
any
World
sense.
War. Well, no, sure it does. It happens before World War II.
Yeah,
but like in
no one would throw their food. That's the only food they're going to get at someone.
Okay, fine. Fine. They're throwing rocks at her or something.
There you go.
Yeah, you're right.
Like in Wonder Woman, like that no man's land scene. That's as I will say this on the record. That is the most heroic moment I have ever seen in a superhero movie. Like just the whole way it's presented and built up to. It's so fucking awesome. It's just like this total hero moment. It's just phenomenal.
See, that's why the third act being only acceptable was really just disturbing for me, because the rest of the movie was so goddamn good.
Well, yeah, it's like, well, like Dale said afterwards, he's like, the thing that's disappointing about where they have the cliche boss battle at the end, basically, is that that was only merely, like, good, whereas, like, everything else was great.
Because, so with superheroes, the exciting thing about superheroes is superheroes are doing things that you cannot.
Mm-hmm.
And so in Wonder Woman, it's like, a rando soldier cannot walk across no man's land without getting murdered. But Wonder Woman can. So she does that, and that's why it's so cool, because you're excited because you're seeing her do something that a normal person cannot.
There's a lot about that scene that's awesome, though. It's like, that's a piece. That's a small piece to me. Like, what's so good about that scene is, like, multiple times throughout the movie, they allude to her, like, revealing her outfit, and it never happens. And then at that part, they're at, like, no man's land in the trench.
Oh, yeah, that's the first time you see it, isn't it?
Yeah, they're in the trench, and, like, everybody's. And the other thing I like, too, is it was like a girl power moment, but they didn't, like, hit it with a stupid, you know, I am no man line like they put in fucking Return of the King, where, because, like, you know, they hit the point that it's called no man's land, but they don't make a big deal out of it, and then there's little references, and people keep telling her, nope, nobody can do it, nobody can do it, and she's like, no, we have to help those people, and she won't accept it. And that's why it's, like, such a great, like, heroic moment, because she just will not accept what these people are telling her. And then you see this, like, slow reveal of the suit, and she comes up out of the trench, and then she's in the outfit, and then she does this awesome, like, march across no man's land, and then everybody else is inspired by what she's doing, and they join in the fight, and then they Monopoly route, you know, the Germans, and they take back this village, and then she has, like, the awesome moment with the people in the village, you know, where it's just, oh, it's so fucking good.
And she flips over a tank.
Yes. Well, and she takes down that fucking bell tower. Like, oh, God, there's so much, like, awesome shit in that movie.
Up until that point, that movie was just kicking ass. You know, it was making Marvel look like a bunch of punks.
Yep.
And then the third act is like...
The whole third act isn't that bad. It's mainly the fact
it's
that they...
It's not bad. It's not bad, but it's not as good as the rest of it, unfortunately.
Yeah, it basically comes back down to the level of, like, all these other movies, which, you know, unfortunately, that is what you're left with, because that's the final act. But it's, like, still... I don't know. I'll take that movie all day long over, like, anything that fucking Marvel's put out.
Yeah, I saw Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and it was like, meh.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet. I care if it was you that was telling me, or I think other people told me this, though, that it's like, it's kind of like they just kind of repeat stuff from the first movie and then just, like, really hit the stuff hard. Like, it's so self-aware or whatever that it's just trying too hard.
Right. It's like they took... They're like, oh, remember that scene where Michael Rooker kills 10 people with his magic arrow? What if he kills 100 people with it? That's what they do in the sequence.
Yeah.
I wasn't really terribly impressed by it. Also, there's only like 3 locations in the whole movie. It's weird. Well,
that's right. I think we talked about this last time because that sounds familiar.
I'm like flashbacking.
Well, here's the thing that I found going back to the third act of Wonder Woman. Like, compared to The Matrix, for instance, right?
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, the stuff in Act 2 of Wonder Woman is every bit as good as, like, Christopher Reeves catching the helicopter or Neo opening his trench coat to reveal the machine guns. It's that good in, like, a movie pantheon. But then, like, in Matrix, it's like, Wonder Woman, like, the fact that they have this twist who Ares is, like, who the bad guy is, it's kind of dumb or lame. And the thing is, they don't set him up as a villain. So, like, in Matrix, it's like you see Agent Smith before you even see Neo. And you're like, this is the bad guy. It's like, he's the bad guy. He's kind of cool, but he's obviously bad. He goes around killing people. We show him being bad. We give you a reason to hate him.
Yep.
And he's antagonizing. He's being mean to Morpheus. And then at the end, it's like, yes, Neo, kick his ass. Mm-hmm. And in Wonder Woman, it's like, oh, this random character turns out to be the bad guy, and I guess they're going to have a big CGI boss battle.
Yeah.
So then going back, and then the CGI boss battle, it's like you're not seeing Wonder Woman like fight rifles or mortars or tanks. She's fighting another supreme being, superhuman god.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just less interesting for it.
Yes, yeah, I would agree. And that was like my problem with it is it's like it didn't need that. You know, like it
I don't think Ares shouldn't have even been in the movie.
Yeah, it was unnecessary. Honestly. Like, because you have the part, like, to me, what would have been awesome is like, she fights the guy who you think, you know, is the bad guy the whole time up in that, like, watchtower or whatever and defeats him. And it's not even that much of a battle. Like, she kicks his ass pretty easily. And then the war machine keeps going. Like, that would have been... Because she's, like, the whole time she's like, oh, I have to do this, and it'll stop everything. You know, and all that. And
yeah, she's very naive about it.
Yeah, and so it would have been, like, very interesting for her to do that and then have it just keep going. I mean, she kind of has a bit of that moment anyways, but then it turns out like, oh, Ares is still around. And but she does have to still have some of that conflict, which I thought was good, where she has to kind of decide whether or not humanity is still worth fighting for or not. So they still address that a bit, but it was just like, you don't need the big, stupid, typical superhero big bad fight at the end. Like, the movie was so good, it didn't need any of that shit. So the fact that you did that was kind of eh, but still.
Yeah.
It's.
I read that they didn't reshoot anything, and the only scene they added was, like, in No Man's Land where the horses were being whipped. You remember when she was, like, looking at all the misery?
Yeah.
And the horses are stuck in the mud and they're being whipped? That's the only thing they filmed and added to the movie.
Wow.
And I wonder... Right, but the thing is, Act 3 could have benefited from some reshoots.
Yes, yeah.
But I kind of wonder if Warner's had spent so much goddamn money on Batman v Superman and all the reshoots they put into Suicide Squad, if they're like, you know what, Wonder Woman's good enough. We don't need to reshoot
probably.
It. Because that part where she loses her hearing and she doesn't hear what he says when he says, I love you, and then she flashes back to it.
Yeah.
It's like, what the hell was that all about? It's like they were trying to make an emotional... They were trying to like delay an emotional moment through editing.
I thought that worked really well. I like that a lot, actually, right. The way they did that.
It worked, but it was like a narrative trick. I don't know. I just wish they would have spent like $10 million and just did a few reshoots on the ending. It could have been so much better.
See, to me, I don't know. I've gotten to the point. I mean, I'm still critical of things, but sometimes I'm just like, you know what? That was really good. It's like, could it have been better? Sure. Just about everything could be better. But it's like, compared to most of this fucking drivel we get given, I'm pretty happy with it, so...
And clearly audiences are too, because it's the only movie actually doing anything, and everything else is like just dropping like turds in a bowl.
So you mean Wonder Woman is causing a bloodbath on all the other movies?
Yeah, it's holding up well enough. It might actually be able to get to $400 million domestically. It's going to be close, but...
It'll beat Batman and Suicide Squad, definitely.
Well, it's going to do that this weekend. But it's still chugging along pretty good. There's a shot it could get to 400 domestic, which would be pretty...
What's it up to?
It's like at 320-something.
Probably at least 375. Easy.
But yeah, to me it's like... I guess I haven't paid much attention to movie news really at all, but it's like I have to imagine they're doing everything they can to basically green light Wonder Woman 2 and get it in the pipeline. So it's like
Wonder Woman 2, The Wondering.
Yeah, I wonder, God, what do you think is going to happen with Justice League? I mean, that movie has to be like the biggest clusterfuck in history.
Yeah, I remember when they showed the trailers like last year and people were like, oh, this looks like an improvement over Batman v Superman. And I was like, I know I'm one of the few people that liked that movie, but I'm like watching the Justice League trailer and I'm like, it just wasn't hitting any notes for me at all.
But the thing is, that movie was full steam ahead.
Yeah, I know. They were already filming it when Batman v Superman came out. So,
but then there's rumors that they've shot so much and reworked so much, they basically made the movie twice already.
Well, then now, like, Joss Whedon is in there, and he was already prepping, like, some reshoot stuff before the stuff happened with Zack Snyder's daughter, and he left the movie now.
And they were doing reshoots this spring where, like, Gal Gadot had a green thing over her pregnant stomach. Mm.
Well, I guarantee you the rest of the marketing for that movie... Wonder Woman is going to be very prominent in the marketing for it. I mean, they already have her front and center in all the shots of the Justice League, but...
Well, I mean, think about it. They've probably spent like three times as much making Justice League as they did Wonder Woman, and it probably won't make as much money as Wonder Woman.
It won't.
You know, why even make it? Like, I mean, you it's more profitable to make Wonder Woman because Wonder Woman... I mean, she's been around forever, but in film,
she's never been around.
You know, people want new shit. I mean, hopefully this is the summer they finally realize that. Hopefully.
I think you say that every summer, Ben.
I don't know. This summer has been pretty bad. I mean, you look at, like, if you look at the top box office movies, like, the number one movie for the year is Beauty and the Beast, and that came out in, what, March? Then... Yeah.
All the live action.
And then Guardians of the Galaxy 2 and Wonder Woman. And those are the only three that have broken $300 million. Then after that, it's like Logan at like 225-ish. And that came out like in March or something like that.
Fast and the Furious did pretty well, but that is definitely on the downward, you know, trajectory from previous films.
I mean, it's like number five, I think. Like, it's behind those other four, I know.
But then you have Transformers, which is massively underperforming. Cars 3 is underperforming. Mummy is underperforming. Pirates is underperforming. Aliens underperformed. Like, actually, you know what movie I think is going to actually do surprisingly well when
Blade
it comes
Runner
out this fall
one?
Is no, It.
I haven't even heard about that.
The Stephen King.
I didn't even know they were making a movie of it.
Yeah, it has like the most trailer views on YouTube of any movie ever by like a country mile. Really? Yeah, it's like 200 million views in the first weekend or something, which is just beyond anything.
Is it coming out around Halloween, or when is it coming out?
I think it's in September, and it's rated R. Hmm.
Interesting.
I have a feeling that could be like a surprise hit.
Yeah, it's... yeah, I don't know. It's like, I think one thing that really helps Wonder Woman a lot, too, you know, I mean, it's like, yes, it's a female superhero, they finally did it and all that, which, you know, doesn't hurt, but I think, like, the period...
You mean they finally made a good one?
Well, yeah, and but it's like the period setting, I think, helps it immensely. You know, like what you said when we were going into it, you're like, all I want to do is watch Wonder Woman punch some Germans and shit like that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like... Well, she's not fighting aliens and shit like that, you know. I mean, yes, she fights like a god at the end, yeah. But it's like, well, the rest of it, people.
You want to see her beat up people, use her superpowers to like beat up. That's like Spider-Man. It's like this little, like a helpless little lady. She can't fight a purse snatcher, yeah. But Spider-Man can, right? Or the cops can't fight Doc Ock, but Spider-Man can. It's the same reason why I'd rather see Batman punch purse snatchers than like, you know, fight whatever the hell that thing was, and then the Batman v Superman.
Yep.
What was that thing? Was that supposed to be
Doomsday? That was Doomsday. He did fight that whole warehouse full of idiots and, like, kick the living shit out of them, which was awesome. Even, like, pulls a knife out of his shoulder and then, like, stabs a guy with it. It's fucking awesome.
He pretty much punch-murdered everyone in that scene.
It's awesome. I love that scene so much. Like, there's that part where he slams that dude's, like, head into that crate as he jumps over it. It's like, holy shit, how many necks has he snapped in this sequence? It's so great. But yeah, then when he gets stabbed by that guy while he's on the ground, and then he, like, kicks them both, gets up, like, pulls the knife out of his shoulder, and then, like, stabs a dude with it. It's great.
See, I will say, you know, as a fan of... the first Batman, I am totally okay with a murdering Batman.
Yeah, that whole argument, like, where it's like, oh, he can't kill people, blah, 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 and he can't shoot people. It's like, he fucking shot people in everybody's precious 1989 Batman. Like, he went around with the goddamn Batwing and shot people and shit.
Oh, yeah, and then he has that, his car goes in and it blows up an entire factory full of
people.
Yeah,
it's like, you can't tell me that was an empty factory.
Awesome.
You know, it's like, please.
It wasn't, because people are shooting, they're shooting their guns at that Batmobile and it drops the bombs and then boom.
Like, so I get so tired of people with that shit. It's like...
Straight up murders people in that.
No, I don't have a problem with the new Batman because he murders people. I just have a problem with, he's just like... all the time.
Well, that Batman doesn't kill people as much as, like, Affleck does. Affleck is just, like, I don't know how many he kills, but he thrashes the hell out of a lot of people. And
There's got to be John Wick of Batman.
There has to be a YouTube video for how many people he kills in that, you know, Batman, Reserve Man.
Probably. That's just, like...
Not as many as John Wick.
No. But that's just, like, the people that bitched about, like, when Superman kills Zod at the end of Man of Steel, and they're like,
He kills Zod in the other
one.
I know,
but it's like, people are like, Superman doesn't kill people. It's like, Jesus Christ. It's like...
Actually, he kills all three of them, remember? Well, Lois Lane kills one of them in Superman 2.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm just sitting...
Superman kills a lot of people when he gets thrown into a building and goes all the way through it.
That's not his choice. It's like the whole, oh god, Man of Steel, I can defend that movie all day long, but it's like, I don't know, people just aggravate me with their stupid things they pick on, because it's like, if you look at that movie, it's like, he's just becoming Superman in that movie, he hasn't fully realized his purpose yet, or whatever, and so it's like, he hasn't even fully formed as a character, so, yeah. Maybe he fucks up a little bit. Maybe he snaps Zod's neck when maybe if it was 10 years later he wouldn't do that. But it's like, this is like basically his origin story. And then the big fight at the end, it's like a lot of the people are evacuated out of the buildings. Like if you actually, I don't know, watch the movie and pay attention to what's going on there, you'll see that a lot of those buildings, there aren't really people in them anymore.
I think it's a bigger problem that Lois Lane is able to teleport around the city magically.
She's Amy Adams. She can do whatever she wants.
Oh, so she she has an arrival just in time to the next step. And then she stares with her big eyes.
Yes. That was a good movie.
And then Superman's like, catch me if you can.
Big Eyes was a hell of a flick. But,
yeah, I watched that because I'm like, oh, it's a you know, it's a Tim Burton biopic. I have to watch this.
Yeah, it showed that he can still make good movies.
You know what movie I will totally go see with bells on is The Disaster Artist.
What's that one?
It's like a biopic making of The Room with James Franco as Tommy Wiseau.
Oh, Lord.
It's going to be like Ed Wood 2. Well, shall we talk about our final topic now?
I am convinced.
I forgot what our topics were.
Well, our third and final topic is VR, virtual reality. Is it a fad? What about AR, augmented reality? Is either one of them the future?
Or the past?
I think it's going to go the way of 3D TVs.
Oh yeah, that's officially dead now.
Yep.
Now what's the new thing is 4K, but I think 4K is actually going to stick around.
It's still just a
4K
gimmick.
Is tits.
Yeah,
Ben,
got
Ben can call it a gimmick.
4K monitors
Ben
now.
Can call it a gimmick all he wants, but when I have my 4K HDR OLED TV and I pop in fucking John Wick on it and compare it to my Blu-ray, it's like holy shit. There is
a 4K John
there
Wick.
Is a difference. If I watch like Man of Steel on it or whatever, it's like there's definitely now I don't know if it's the 4K or if it's the HDR or the combination, but I mean there's
both.
Definitely
what a placebo effect.
There's definitely no, I mean I could sit there and put a disc in, like a Blu-ray of the same movie, and then pop this in and
did you get the new Xbox One?
Yeah, the One S.
I don't have a 4K Blu-ray player, so I've never watched a 4K Blu-ray on my TV. Because the 4K streaming stuff is all compressed up the yin-yang.
Yeah, it's... I mean, some of that, like, Amazon Prime had some of it, and it looked pretty good and all that, but it was like... I popped in, like, the Warcraft 4K disc, and it was like, holy shit. The thing is, like, I can really tell the difference, because, of course, the first movies I bought were ones where I'm like, these are movies I really like, I've watched them a bunch of times, I will watch them a bunch more times. So it's like I was very familiar with them, and so when I was watching them in this format, I was just like, damn, there actually is a difference. So...
Yeah, I still haven't... We gotta have a movie night and check out your TV.
Yes.
I still have not seen this OLED TV, which should look better than the theater, by my recollection.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. It's like,
that's the thing. What's going to happen to Hollywood once the Chinese like move out of the factories and have their own TVs at home?
And they got to hope
when they can afford to buy the TVs that they build.
Yeah.
I think we talked about this last time because it was the Chinese and then it was the Indians. And then it was, by that time, would be on Mars. So it'd be the Martians, would be Hollywood's, like, honeysuckles.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, India already has a pretty big film community.
Yeah.
You know,
Bollywood?
Yeah, Bollywood is huge over there. Like, there's as many people in India as there are China, but, like, for whatever reason, they don't eat up our movies like the Chinese do. Like, what was it? Transformers made $121 million in China alone last weekend.
They have a lot. The difference in extra spending capital between India and China is pretty big. So that's probably the reasoning.
What happens when the Chinese have enough money to buy a 4K TV?
Well, by then it'll be 8K.
He's just saying there won't be a reason to go to the theater anymore, is what
he's
getting at. So.
Right. Maybe by then... No, who knows? Maybe they'll make good movies by then.
I think that's a huge reason why Americans don't go anymore. It's like, think about it. Like, what was it? Like, what movie did we see? Oh, it was Wonder Woman, right? We went with Jones and Dale. And like $9 is the bargain basement bottom price you can pay for a movie.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And I mean that was like for
a Sunday morning, right?
Yeah, because we went and saw it at like what 11:30. Granted, we did go to a 3D showing, so it was a little more because of that. But still, it's like.
Oh, how was the 3D?
It's not really noticeable on that movie. Like,
fake.
Main reason we went to a 3D showing there was just because that was the time that worked best for people to go, and that was what the showing was.
So that same $9 would get you a month of streaming of like Netflix or some other channel.
Yes, but if you spend $9 at the movie theater, you see the movie you wanted to. That's a dig on Netflix not having movies anymore.
I mean it's true.
Yeah, but you could also go and buy a Blu-ray, and then you get to have it forever.
Like a one Blu-ray would cost less than a couple going to a movie theater.
Or like if you went to a night showing, it's basically the same price as a freaking night showing of something. Damn near.
I think I think a big part of it is, you know, like the people who make movies are all rich, and they really just don't understand the discretionary income of the average person.
Yeah, it's.
And when the purse strings start to get tight, you know, because of inflation or whatever, guess what's the first thing that gets cut?
Yep.
Entertainment. So back to VR.
Yes.
Cast AR is closing, you said, Parker?
Yeah, it came out yesterday, I think. That'd be Monday. That Cast AR, the augmented reality company, is going out of business. They laid off 70 people. I actually was surprised.
Jesus, they had that many people.
Yeah, there was people doing software and hardware.
Okay.
So,
but holy shit,
there's like video game AAA video game studios that don't have 70 people.
Yeah. And I think there's only a couple people left, probably the head guys, and they're basically just trying to sell the technology now from the news articles.
Huh.
I think
because I remember seeing that at Maker Faire.
I bet Oculus won't be too far behind.
I think Facebook is going to keep Oculus chugging along for a while, though.
Really? You think Facebook wants to lose money?
They do it a lot.
what is the state of VR now? Like, I know that they've come out with, you know, see it with video cards, you know, VR ready, you know, for PCs, and then there was, you know, the Rift was coming around, like it's out, right? And then there's what's the other one?
Vive,
yeah, that thing. But it's like our software, you know, like game developers supporting these things at all, or is it kind of like indie type companies making stuff? Like, what's
most of the stuff that's out now is indie.
Okay.
But like Bethesda had a bunch of stuff. Like there's a Doom VR, but it's like when you watch the Doom VR, it looks like a neutered version of the new Doom.
Okay.
And it's like I don't want to play that. And the big problem with games in VR is how do you move in them without, you know, throwing up? Because you know, you can either set up a ginormous room, which no one has, to like, you know, play VR games that has, you know, no furniture in it, or you have to use a joystick, and that's kind of, think about, like, your eyeballs are telling you that you're walking forward, but your ears are like, you're sitting in a chair.
What?
It's very...
Like, that's the core, core problem with it, like, when Ben and I talked about this stuff on here last year, you know, it was like... Games that are well suited to this stuff are like a racing game or like a flying game, you know, something where you as the person are stationary.
I played Until Dawn Rush of Blood on the PlayStation 4 VR. And it's like it's kind of like Carnival where you're like on a cart going on rails through like a haunted house or whatever. And it was really fun because you could like point the guns and like shoot the enemies and the targets and stuff. But yes, your character was sitting in, you know, a cart or a like a roller coaster seat or whatever.
Yes. Some of my favorite applications I've used VR for is like the Wii emulator that's on PC. You can actually enable a VR mode that puts a second camera in most games. And using Google Cardboard, you basically can play Wii games on VR. Huh. And I played like Monster Hunt, like third person games, like Monster Hunter and stuff, are really, really fun. And because basically it turns into like a 3D display, like a 3D TV.
Huh.
And it actually works because you don't have to keep your head in one spot. You can move your head around and it doesn't mess up the effect.
Yeah. Huh.
That's one thing that they missed the boat on, is they should have like pushed VR headsets as kind of like a 3D TV that actually works.
Yeah, but then the resolution isn't that great. I mean, you're gonna see the pixels versus, you know, like a TV in your living room.
That's true, but like playing third person, like I really wanted to try like a game like Gears of War or something in VR. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
You know, it just goes back to the ultimate problem. Like, video games are about relaxation. Mm-hmm. You know, you just want to sit down and play a game. Like, if you have to put on a headset and then put on, you know, like if you or I play video games online, like, we have to put on a gaming headset, right? So if I want to go to the bathroom or get a beer, I have to take that off. Okay, so if I'm doing VR, it's like I have to take off my VR helmet and my headset.
You have
and
to come have, back to the real world.
Well, and then how do I reach down and grab a drink of beer? I mean, so know, am I going to knock over the beer? I mean, I know that sounds trivial, but I think that's
the
really
high-end
important.
Ones actually have a camera on the front that you switch to, and so you can see beyond your... Like you can see the real world.
The PlayStation VR is kind of cool because you can grab it and like pull it out like a few inches from your head, so you can like look down and stuff. And also, of the ones I've tried, the PlayStation VR actually, my glasses fit perfectly fine inside of it.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like me, even just gaming in general, even with VR out of the picture, I generally don't want to have a headset on, even. Like, I'm too lazy for that, even. It's like, all I want is my keyboard and my mouse, and that's it. You know?
See, I got a wireless headset, and that like, fixes a lot of these problems.
Why the Wii stuff went away, why the Wii Balance Board went away, why the Kinect went away. It's all work.
People are just lazy motherfuckers.
The thing is, yep. You work all day long, you know, you come home, it's like, I just want to sit in my goddamn chair and putz around in, like, World of Warcraft or whatever for a couple hours, you know, it's like,
yeah,
I don't want to deal with
shit. I might
shit,
add,
so.
when I played that demo of Until Dawn, Rush of Blood, it was really fun once I got it started, but it took probably a good 15 minutes to, like, get the headset to work, to get the guns calibrated and all that. And I was like, Jesus Christ, when does this start, you know?
I don't think VR kind of gaming stuff is going to work until you can totally just Matrix in. That's when that shit will take off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just like jack into like a different world.
Yeah, and you just like, because that's like total relaxation, because you're just laying on the bed doing fucking nothing.
But you can do that in real life.
Yeah, but you can't explore the World of Warcraft. While doing
it'd be awesome. You could be like, come home, it could be like winter time, you know, it's like cold as shit out. You come home, jack into like VR Matrix, whatever.
Just don't jack off.
Well, unless you're Obi-Wan. But it's like, but then you could be like on a beach, like in freaking the Bahamas or something, like looking at the ocean, you know. I mean, we're a ways away from that, but it's like, if you could have something like that, yeah, that's when...
You know, that would actually bring real estate prices down, because if people weren't so hung up on where they lived or where they, you know, had to go for work...
Yeah, what like, if you just VR'd to work?
Yep.
Right. Like, because think about it, like, what if you had, like, you could have a server farm or some sort of IT department in, like, North Dakota or something, right? And then people are like, I don't want to live in North Dakota, but they could go live there and they could just have fun VR experiences. Yep. It's like, especially if you like teleportation, like if there was like teleportation, I mean, I know VR isn't, well, it's kind of like teleportation if you think about it.
Well, this kind of would be kind of like teleportation, yeah.
Right, right. But I think about, like, what if you could, like, work anywhere? And, like, that would cause real estate prices to, like, because, I mean,
yeah, because you can, you can live in, like, you know, middle nowhere USA, and then wake up, go to your favorite coffee place in San Francisco, if that's your thing, and then go work at New York City.
Yeah, or maybe you, like, live in, like, the Matrix, like, tube farms. Like, you don't have to live anywhere at all. Like, you spend all of your time in virtual reality, and you don't care about reality.
Oh, you're just a naked, pinky human.
Right, but, I mean, if, you know, if your experience is, you know, completely virtual, why would you care?
That's kind of like in Inception. Like, yeah. That's kind of what some of those people were doing when they go to that guy for the special drug cocktail that they needed, and they go in that, like, basement room, and there's, like, all these people that are all, like, jacked in, basically, and they, like, go in for, like, 10 hours at a time or whatever, you know, and that they're just, like, dreaming, or but it's, like, this shared dreaming, I mean, you know?
Like, if that, well, actually, not if, when that actually becomes a reality, that will be the most catastrophic drug to productivity that the world has ever
known. Yeah.
I mean, because it'd be like, why bother to wake up? Like, I guess you wake up so you can go to work, so you can earn enough money to go back to sleep.
Pretty much, yeah.
There's an interesting movie.
Yeah, that would...
They kind of... What was that movie? What was that movie with Bruce Willis and, like, The Replacements or The Replicants?
Oh, it was
remember that one
Surrogates.
Where people were, like, in their... In... Yeah, yeah, it wasn't that good, but... That was kind of the basic premise, which was interesting.
It had a really neat premise, and then just, yeah, the execution was blah. But, because didn't, like, Jonathan Mostow direct that, I think?
That's right, the director of the criminally underrated Terminator 3.
That's right.
You know how it's funny how they keep trying to make these Terminator movies? And they try to retcon out T3, and T3 is still better than any of the things.
Even
though
T3
since.
Kicked all kinds of ass.
So, you know, here's the thing, like, T3, I know I've said this a million times, but I've been proven right by 20th Century Fox. Like, if they would have gone T3 to post-apocalypse to future war, if they would have done what the Planet of the Apes movies are doing right now, like, Planet of the Apes movies are doing what Terminator should have done. They're doing it right. Whereas Terminator did it completely wrong. So if the Terminator would have stuck with it and, like, just shown the progression after the... you know, after Terminator 3, they could have made a trilogy as successful as the Planet of the Apes trilogy has been.
Yeah, the thing I never understood either with why they keep trying to, like, ignore T3 or whatever, it's like, even James Cameron admitted that T3 was pretty good. Like, he was like, I wanted to hate that movie, but, like, there was an interview with him, and he's like, you know, it was actually pretty good.
Well, and, like, people also... want to make everything like T2, which isn't the best Terminator
movie. No, it isn't.
The first one is the best Terminator movie.
First one's pretty good.
I mean, yeah.
I like T3 a lot.
What's your favorite one?
I like T3 a lot. It's just, like, fun, and I love the fact that they get to the end, and, you know, it's like, well, it still happened.
They don't,
you know,
succeed.
Yeah, and then they're in that mountain bunker whatever thing, and then it's like, oh, this is how it begins, basically. Like, it was like the balls on that movie to do that, you know?
Yeah,
it was, like, so refreshing.
And so then he picks up the microphone, and he says, this is John Connor. And then there should have been a sequel which showed exactly what happens next. I wanted to know what happened next.
Yes.
Nope, we didn't.
Yep, they could have just had direct freaking sequel, just like Quantum of Solace after Casino Royale, where it's like it picks up immediately after it, and you just go.
Yes. I want to see, like, I want to see the evolution of the machines, you know? But the thing is, we'll never get that movie now. That'll never happen because, like, people didn't like T3. Although, honestly, I've never met anyone in real life who didn't like it. It's all people online that
didn't like it. Yeah, yeah, because, I mean...
Those damn keyboard warriors.
I still remember when we went and saw that because, like, the trailers, it didn't look good. Because it had that, like, stupid line about, like, I am a machine, you know, and it's just like...
Yep.
But then we went and saw it and we were like, holy shit, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, because I had to convince my – I was telling my sister. I'm like, Cree, I know you like Terminator. You should go see Terminator 3. And she's like, it looks really stupid. I'm like, trust me, it's actually good.
Because there's, like, that awesome scene where, like, Arnold, when he comes walking out of that freaking, like, graveyard, and he's got the coffin on his shoulder and then, like, the massive gun in his other hand, like, just blasting shit. And you're like, oh, yes, this movie knows exactly what it is, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, I think maybe it was more of like a B.
Yeah, it really is.
Than the ones that have come since, and it knew its place, and it was better for it.
And they're in like that blown to shit limo and stuff, like driving around in it with like the roof torn off and crap. It's just so great.
Yeah, it's a lot better than anyone gives it credit for.
Yeah, it's. Yeah, and I don't know, I liked Claire Danes in it a lot and stuff, and, like, there's that great scene where she tries to jump out the back of that truck, and Arnold just, like, sticks his arm out and catches her.
It's like a rabbit trying to jump out of a cage at a county fair, and he just grabs her.
Yeah, just like she's, like, a freaking loaf of bread or something. It's just, like, crazy. It's great.
Yeah. It's so much better than people give it credit for. We could do a whole podcast about just that movie.
We should just do a commentary track for it someday. Glorious.
Yeah. Well, those were some pretty good topics. I don't know exactly how VR turned into the Terminator 3 appreciation.
Well, Terminator 3 is more interesting, so.
I guess I need to go see T3
now. You haven't seen it?
You haven't seen it?
Oh my god.
I saw the Terminator 2.
Arnold with a coffin on his shoulder while holding like a freaking...
Yeah, I think that scene alone
sold. What does he have, like a minigun or some shit? Like, what?
Okay, the coffin is full of guns, and then he's got a minigun as well, because they think it's Sarah Connor's coffin, but it's actually filled with guns.
And, but yes, it's awesome. So...
Because I like... Because between T1 and T2, I like T1 the best.
Yeah, it's very efficient.
Just from the fact... Well, because you don't know... It goes back to that, like, why do we need to know the origin stories that Ben was talking about earlier? It's just like... It's a Terminator from the future. He's going to kill this guy, or try to kill this guy. And that's as far as we need to know.
Yeah, it's very simple. It's just like, here it is, you're being chased. By something that can't be killed, apparently.
I watched Terminator 2 just ungodly amount of times when I was a teenager, but looking back, it's kind of overly long, and it doesn't do anything any better than the first movie, except for it has a higher budget. I mean, Terminator 1 is really, really good storytelling and very efficient screenwriting.
Biggest thing
T2 does have Liquid Metal Man.
It's got that, and then it's also got, like, Arnold's, like, fun in it, because, you know, he's, like, the good guy now, or whatever, you know, like, it's got that factor, which, to me, that's, like, its biggest selling point is, you know, Arnold's, like, the hero.
That was another thing I liked about Terminator 3, is they didn't try to redo any of that shit. He was kind of like a mean grandpa in Terminator 3. Because then they tried to make him cuddly again for, like, Terminator Genisist.
Yeah, I can't remember what the hell they... Yeah, that's right, because that had Dragon Woman in it.
But if you think, Terminator 3 was trying to be its own thing. Because remember, John Connor's like, don't you remember me? And he's like, that was a different model.
Yep. And it's got that awesome chase sequence in it. With the
train.
That was, like, freaking awesome.
And if you think about it, the female Terminator actually makes sense in a way based off of how it's built. Because it's like there's an endoskeleton that's, you know, a robot, and then it has liquid metal around it, so it would be physically smaller, you know, than most humans. So it being a woman actually makes sense, because women are, you know, usually smaller than men. And it kind of makes sense.
Why would the Terminator be smaller make sense?
Well, because it's a robot endoskeleton with liquid metal around it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, so it's not going to be, like, huge.
It's like a hybrid. Right, so that means the endoskeleton has to be smaller than the total possible mass of what's around it. So unlike Terminator 2, like, she can't become, like, a puddle on the floor.
Yeah.
Like, she can just change, like, her outer appearance, but she still has a robot skeleton underneath.
Yes.
Which also makes more sense than the T-1000, because Like the T-1000, like how would that?
Yeah, it was like pure liquid or whatever. So it was like,
yeah, I mean, it was cool, but from an engineering standpoint, the robot in Terminator 3 actually made a little bit more sense.
Yeah, I like that another B movie thing, like that part where she gets pulled over or whatever it is, and then like it's a male cop coming up, so then she like makes her boobs bigger or something, doesn't she?
And yes, yes.
It's just like, you know, it's just fun, like cheesy shit like that, like.
Also, I really liked how when Arnold shows up, he goes to a strip club or like male stripper night.
That's right.
Because it's just like that's what you want to see. It's like it's funny because it's like this is a naked person walking around and it's not weird.
Yeah,
because
everybody at the strip club's all like, oh hey, you know, like because it's like yeah. And then he has like those ridiculous sunglasses that he gets. Like they have fun with it. Like they're kind of like almost, I don't know, parodying
themselves.
Yeah, like the prior movies and stuff like that. So it's
right.
Yeah, it's fun. It yeah, like Ben said, it's criminally underrated. Like
I'll have to watch it.
It's not like it's the greatest movie ever made or anything, but I mean, it's just a hell of a lot of fun. It's just very well made.
Oh, yeah,
it's just like.
There's things about it that are, you know, not super... Like, Claire Danes. I mean, I like Claire Danes, but her acting isn't very good in it.
Yeah, she's fine.
Nick Stahl does a pretty good job.
He was good. Like, yeah, it was really a shame they never made another one and just continued it with him, but oh well.
Yeah. Thanks, Internet.
Not a big enough
warriors.
Name.
It's like when I just think it's funny. They're like, oh, you know, we're going to make Terminator. What was it? Terminator Salvation. Well, actually, Terminator Salvation wasn't continuity because Bryce Dallas Howard played the same character that Claire Danes was.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was technically in continuity. They just changed the cast. But they jumped like what 15 years too far into the future.
Yeah, and they were already planning like when they made that movie, they were already planning like another trilogy. Like it was gonna be the first of a trilogy, but then it failed, and so
that's the series where setting up a trilogy would have made perfect sense. But don't start it 15 years after Armageddon. Start it at Armageddon. So you make the Holocaust movie, and then you make like the Breaking Free movie, and then you make the war movie. It was so obvious, but
yeah,
they didn't do
it. Massive missed opportunity. It's like,
yeah.
They're just rebooted anyways.
Well, doesn't Cameron get the rights back soon, like in a year or two?
Yeah, like 2019, yeah. I think. So after selling it for $1 to his then wife Gail Ann Hurd, like you know, 40 years later, yeah. Get the rights back.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if he probably won't do anything with it because he's going to be too busy shitting out Avatar movies for the rest of his life, apparently. So,
well, he gave Battle Angel Alita to Robert Rodriguez.
Yeah, yeah. Is it...
And that's already been shot.
Did shoot that? Okay.
That was a great talk, guys. The SNES Mini sounds like the next great hit for Nintendo that they'll somehow run out of.
Yeah, they'll probably sell 3 million and then call it a day.
I guess in our next podcast, we can talk about however much money Spider-Man Homecoming made, to followed by Spider-Man Prom and Snowball and Graduation.
And then Spider-Man the college years will come after that.
Well, that was a great podcast. Thanks to everybody for listening, and we'll see you
Adios.
Next month.
Later.